Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 10, where we see that we are encouraged to not teach our children and our families how to necessarily do or have religion. We are encouraged through today's text to teach our families how to walk in the ways of Jesus, just to sit in his presence, know him deeply, and walk with him all the days of our lives. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 14, verse 1.
So vastly different, even in where they are. I mean, one is in Galilee, one is in Bethany. So it's a completely different story. But when Jesus first shows up with these people, it is in Bethany at the home of Martha, the town of Mary, as Luke tells us in Luke chapter 10, eating with them and supping with them. So here he is again. Other scholars dating back to the, you know, shortly after the time of Christ, they say, no, he wasn't the father of these three. He was the husband of Martha. So either which way, I mean, that's what they do with this individual. It doesn't really matter too much. I'm just giving you some conjecture, and it helps sort of develop the picture here. There's obviously a connection. They're at Simon the leper's home, the ex-leper. He sits with them to eat. The word meet there in the Greek is a word that insinuates reclining. So there they are. They're reclining. They're kicking back, quite literally. Their feet behind them. They're leaning on their side. They're dipping. They're eating their olives. They're drinking their wine. You just imagine the scene. It's a joyous occasion. I think it's a time of refreshment for the Lord. He's dealing with so much nonsense, so much malarkey, so much opposition, so much hate, so much slander, so much plotting against. Even his very own Judas, Satan, is about to enter in just a few moments from this scene so that he can ultimately betray him over to the religious leader. So you can imagine the spiritual warfare that he's enduring. This is fresh for him. This is fresh. This is good. We need to have these types of occasions. And here they are. They're sitting there. Now imagine the conversation. You got Simon the ex-leper and Lazarus who just got raised from the dead. So imagine the stories that are being exchanged. Imagine Simon the ex-leper, he's probably beginning the feast, maybe does a cheers to Jesus, and he says, you know, shindad, and everybody puts up their, and they make this cheers because, you know, he would maybe say, you know, the Lord, you don't understand. My face was, my nose was falling off, and my hands, and where it was a mess. And but then the Lord, he wasn't afraid to approach me, and he touched me, and he made me whole. And everybody's, wow, and they're oohing and on. And then Lazarus is just waiting, you know. And then when Simon's done, you know, Lazarus steps in. Yeah, that was good. But, you know, you should have seen my experience. You know, I was dead. I was in glory, and I started to see David and Abraham and whoever else. And shortly after on the PA system, there's this announcement made that there's a recall, and I got to come back to earth. I mean, you know, and then he tops his story. And Martha is quiet now. She's changed because her brother was raised from the dead and she's in the home of an ex-leper. So she was the one who used to have contention with her sister for being a dreamer hippie at the feet of Jesus when she's busy serving him in Luke 11. That's, by the way, where Mary always is when we find her, is at the feet of Jesus. She's always at the feet of Jesus. Luke 10, at the feet of Jesus, admiring him, listening to him. John 11, when her brother has been dead for days and Jesus finally gets to town, she comes running and falls at the feet of Jesus. And here she is in our story again tonight at the feet of Jesus. Something about Mary. Martha in Luke 10, though, was ticked off at her sister because she was, King James says, encumbered about with much serving and preparation for the meal. And she was upset there and she was talking some smack. Jesus had to put her in her place, but not here. Disgruntled in the past, no longer as she's serving, if she is, and I assume she would be because Martha's are always doing. She's quieted now. Lazarus and Simon are exchanging their stories. The Lord's probably just loving all of it. What a bunch he has there. Peter's probably ready to knock somebody out. I could just picture this scene. And it says that there came a woman, which if she came, it's premeditated. This isn't something that she just did. Man, I don't know. I'm going to go deep with you tonight and just kind of let the Holy Spirit take my experiences and just let it intertwine here and be real. There is something so profound about this phrase, there came a woman. We don't have to wonder who she is. John tells us in John 12, it is Mary. It is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She came here, it tells us, having an alabaster box, a cruse, a flask, if you would, a narrow-necked bottle. She comes with this ointment of spikenard, and the language is a pure nard. I mean, as pure can be, without any admixture. She comes with this beautiful perfume, this aroma that is sweet and spicy and earthy and special and unique and hard to get your hand on, imported from India, somewhere in the Himalayas. She's got this flask. She's got this bottle, if you would. I mean, we read on here, it's very precious. As we continue to read, we look at the other Gospels, it's in weight a pound of ointment. It's 300 denarii worth, which is an average working person's annual wage. So to make this relatable to you and I here tonight, what is that? 30,000? I mean, we're not talking hundreds. We're not talking thousands. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. I mean, this is not just some perfume you go pick up at Macy's or one of those center stands at Grease Ridge Mall there where they're selling all sorts of things. Something that you buy on Amazon. I mean, you're talking about something special here. Here she comes with this flask, this soft marble-like, translucent in appearance, stone-bottled perfume. She comes with this thing. Mark is wonderful to tell she breaks the neck. The only one who tells us this, because Peter's there. And if she breaks it, there's no turning back. We're long from the days of invention where there's a twist top or a cap. So if you're going to break it, you know what that means? You're going to use it all without sparing. I gotta be very led by the Spirit tonight of what avenue I'm going to go down. She comes and she breaks this neck of this perfume. And it wouldn't be, for you and I, it's like, this is strange. For them, it wouldn't be as strange because it was common for a host of a home to anoint the feet or the head of the guest. They didn't have deodorant back then. I'll just get right to the point. And this is a hot climate, so you can imagine the favor you're doing for both the person and the people in the proximity of the person that you would anoint as you're gathering and extending your arm. They probably wish, y'all wish that we didn't have to wear masks as long as we did. They're probably wishing that there were some type of mask because everyone's lifting their arms and they're dipping. And so it would be a kind, courteous, generous thing. But this is different. This isn't just some cheap perfume. This is spikenard. This is precious perfume. This is a bottle that you only open, and you, some of you understand this in terms of like wine and things of that sort. This is a bottle that you only open on a few occasions. Weddings, the death of the very closest person to you. So Lazarus might be over there thinking, geez, thanks a lot, sis, you know. It would be used as a dowry. As a like of a security for a woman who didn't have the rights that women have today if the husband abandoned her and left her, as a means to survive financially. Those were the occasions that you would break open a bottle like this for. Certainly not to just anoint the feet or head of a guest, just to be kind and courteous. This was more than that. So much more. This was, can I say it like this? This was her future in a bottle. She broke open this bottle that was her future. John tells us she pours it on the head and feet of Jesus and uses her hair to anoint him for burial. I want to know the way of Jesus. I'm trying to teach my kids, after myself and my wife, my kids the way of Jesus. I'm not trying to teach my children, my household, religion. I'm not trying to teach my children, my household, duty. I'm trying to show them by action, that is my God-given responsibility, how to walk in the way of the one who is the way. There's a way about Jesus, but not just like a path. There's a way about Jesus like his measure, the way that he moves, the way that he leads, his tendencies, his likeness, his characteristics, his attributes. Those things cannot be experienced by blitzing through your devotions. Those things cannot be experienced only under the hearing of your favorite podcast or Bible teacher. Those things are learned like any other ways of a person are learned relationally over time and much time spent with them. You know, the Lord called me to a fast this past Monday, and it was for something private, something personal. But man, I'll tell you something, I have not enjoyed a day of fasting and prayer like I did this past Monday in a really long time. It was so much more than he spoke to me very early in the day. The way I see it is the Lord speaks to you, man, break bread and celebrate and end the fast. But the fast was so precious and deep. I was experiencing his way. It continued into the evening to bedtime. It was too sweet to interrupt. Now listen, if you know me, that's saying a lot, because I don't do well with skipping a meal, let alone all my meals. In fact, Charlo had a game Monday night. We dropped him off. The girls were hungry, so the only option was fast food. We had to run out to Greece, and when you're in Greece, the only option is Chick-fil-A. It's very obvious if you're not going to get out of the car. Now, I don't know if you've ever had Chick-fil-A being opened in the backseat of your vehicle when you're fasting, but I'll tell you something, that new Cal Caesar salad even looked good on the screen when I'm normally a spicy chicken guy with extra pickles. Like, the board that it was on looked good at that moment in the flesh. But there was such a sweetness being experienced with Jesus that I can't have just in my morning of hour of reading God's word and praying. It's something more than I get in just studying and preparing for a message. There's a depth to Jesus. Now listen, even here tonight, there's only a few of you that are listening to me. It's just what it is. The majority in the room are not listening to me because you're just not there with the Lord. There's only a few of you the Holy Spirit is pulling on the heartstrings of right now. And because you're in that place where you're hungry for his way, nothing else is going to do. Now listen, this is a pathetic scene because there's only one person in the room that knows what's going on besides Jesus, and it's Mary. She's not an apostle. She's not a prophet. She's not an evangelist. She didn't have excusia poured out upon her, an apostolic power to cast out demons and to go and preach sermons in his name and raise the dead or any of these types of things. She is just one who over the years and over the course of time of having a relationship with Jesus, she learned his ways. She noticed tears when he had tears. She noticed inflections in his voice, the way he said certain things, how he said certain things, when he said certain things. She knew his measures. She knew him differently. She understood that he was going to die. She was willing to break open her most precious possession because she realized that in return, he was going to break open his body and spill out his blood for her on the cross. And no matter how extravagant this offering was, and it was, it paled in comparison to what he would give her in return. She comes to him with this alabaster box of spikenard. She pours it on his head. And in verse 4, this verse really upsets me. It tells us here that there were some that had indignation within themselves. And they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? That word waste shows up another time. Paul uses it when he calls, when he says, son of perdition. It's the same word, waste, perdition, son of waste. Why was this waste made of ointment for it might have been sold, verse 5, for more than a year's wage and have been given to the poor. And it makes me aggravated that they begin now to murmur against her. I hate the word murmur. You don't even have to explain what murmur means in the Greek or the English. It is an annoying, ugly word. They began to murmur. And the tense is imperfect. It means they just continuously all started to talk garbage about her right at the table. They began to criticize her right at the table. They began to join in here. We don't have to wonder who's the ringleader. John tells us it was Judas. Judas is the one who sounds so pious. Judas is the one who sounds so holy. This Christianese. It's amazing how somebody can speak a little Christianese to Christians and turn it into a carnal trash-talking fest. It's crazy. He comes out, the one who bore the bag from the beginning, the treasurer of the group. He was a devil since the beginning that Jesus chose. He was a devil. Satan's about to enter him. This guy's a total fraud. Never really saved, in my opinion. Totally insincere in his pursuit of Jesus. I think he believed that Jesus was going to overthrow Rome, and that's why he joined the cause, and he wanted a high seat in the kingdom. And I think that when he realized that this wasn't going to go the way he thought it was going to go after the triumphal entry, he said, well, then I'm done with you. And he was on his way to this possession of the devil himself. So he starts to say, the one who bore the bag, the one who was stealing from the bag. And it wasn't like a haphazard stealing. The language is that he was constantly skimming off the top of whatever little would come into Jesus in the ministry. So he's got the bag. He's stealing from it. He's not sincere toward the poor. He doesn't really care about the poor. This just sounds good to the listener. And these guys are so lost as to what's going on because their obsession is not the way of Jesus, the way that it is for Mary at this time. That they are so, and this is where all of us here tonight have to receive admonition and maybe even rebuke. How careful we need to be in joining in with another quote-unquote believer and criticizing the motive of another believer. I mean, that's what you have in front of us here. You know what's interesting? These are the first recorded words that we have of Judas. Right in front of you in tonight's study. And it's a complaint towards someone who gives it all for the Lord. And it sounds good because giving to the poor, that's what you would do during a feast like this. That was the tradition. That was the tradition here. And here he joins in. And I want to say something. A bad man is a worse man when he pretends to be a good man. A bad man is a worse man when he pretends to be a good man. That's what he's doing right there. He's being a hypocrite. Judas is a fault finder. He's a sin sniffer. He's hypocritical. And it's sick here how these men so easily join in with him. I just want to say this to you before we move from this, because this is not a main point. I believe that if you want to be a stickler, if you want to be strict with yourself and be generous with others. I think that that's an important word. You need to deal with your sin, and you need to let God deal with their sin, whoever their sin is. Unless the Holy Spirit gives you a tug that's so strong you can't ignore, which means that you're trying to ignore it because you have a spirit of humility, that you don't even want to do it, but you know that it's the Lord telling you to do it to go and reprove somebody. And if it's to reprove somebody, you better go in the spirit of Galatians 6:1. You who are spiritual, you want to go and rebuke somebody, you better do it in a manner where you reckon that it could be you who needs to be dealt with one day too. You want to be a stickler, you be a stickler of yourself. You be generous with others. Man, this is a waste. We could have, guys, don't you think this is a waste? And they all start talking trash right in front of Jesus. It's never conducive. It's never the Holy Spirit. It's never productive. It's never godly to start talking garbage about somebody else with other believers. If you're doing it, you should feel very uncomfortable right now. I hope you are. This is not a place for you to gather to talk trash about other worshipers of Christ. Because we all are just beggars trying to tell other beggars where to get the bread. None of us here have arrived. None of us are perfected, starting right here with me. I mean, positionally, we are in Christ. But practically, man, we are still being sanctified, aren't we? So step off, back up. If you're so harsh on other people, it is so ungodly to try to arouse other people under the guise of spirituality. Oh, we could have done so much more. I don't know why the leadership would have chosen to have done this, or I don't know why they're and causing all sorts of little disgruntles and issues. And man, these things are constantly, they've always gone on, and they're always going to be going on, but it's never going to be okay. It's never right. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, the Bible says. And the sin of discord disgusts God. That's what the Bible says. It's something that God hates, the sowing of discord. It's amazing what you think God hates. In your religious hypocrisy, you think God hates the outward sins that you hate because it looks like you. But the Bible tells us, so we're not left to wonder, that God hates when people sow discord. So if you're new or you're visiting here tonight, you're wondering if this is the place for you. It is if you don't like to talk about people. But if you like to talk about people, I hope that you feel very uncomfortable and you reconsider your activity. It's so hurtful what they do to this woman who loves the Lord. Now imagine if she asked them, I'm going to give you guys a lot here. Imagine if she asked them first. Imagine if she came in the room with her spikenard and Jesus maybe was up helping Martha for a moment. And what if she said to all the guys, you know him the best. Do you think I should break this open and anoint him? You know Judas right away would have stood up and got the others to join in. He would have said, oh, come on, that's a little bit outlandish here. That's kind of crazy, don't you guys think? I mean, I don't think you need to go that far. That's a little extreme. That's a little bit like overly passionate. I think you could dial it down a bit. You don't need it. Can't you just go get him your like CK1 or something and just spray his feet or like some body perfume? Do you really need to take your future and dump at his feet? Because you see, that's how it goes though. You can't always consult others in your giving to the Lord and your worship of the Lord when you want to do it with all of your heart, when you've been walking in his way, because they'll discourage you. Now, the others wouldn't have been sincere in their seeking to discourage, I believe. But Judas would have been. Listen, sometimes you just got to keep things private in your heart.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.